Good afternoon. Welcome to S&C Critical Insights. I'm Daryl Ebo, Managing Partner of Sullivan & Cromwell's D.C. office and co-head of the firm's antitrust practice. Today, we are going to talk about new developments in criminal antitrust enforcement. And with me today is my partner, Alex Wilshire, a former federal prosecutor whose practice includes extensively criminal antitrust matters.
Great. Thanks, Daryl, for having me. Maybe I'll start off with the first question for you. Following the 2016 presidential election, there's a new leadership team at the Antitrust Division at the Department of Justice. Are you seeing any signs of new approaches or changes in policy from that new group of people?
In the area of criminal cartel enforcement, not really. I think it's too early. As of course you know, most of these investigations, these big international cartel investigations that the DOJ engages in where they're looking for criminal violations of the Sherman Act begun many years ago, or at least a couple of years ago. So most of the ones that are currently being investigated by the Antitrust Division staff began under the prior administration. So to date, we're not really seeing a significant change. Again, the Antitrust Division just announced that the White House has nominated a new deputy for criminal antitrust enforcement. And so, of course, if that individual wants to take the division's enforcement efforts a different way, that might result in a change, but that person is not confirmed yet, and we've not seen that. The one new announcement that came out of the division this year was that the division might seek to bring private damages action on top of their criminal prosecution for cartel cases. But I think it'd be easy to overstate the significance of that, because what they were talking about was really limited to instances in the rare case where the government itself is a victim of the cartel price-fixing behavior, and they would seek, therefore, compensation for their own losses. As a general matter, in most cartel cases, the government's approach will still be to extract significant fines from criminal pleas and then leave it to the private bar to bring private litigation for damages. So, Alex, one question I have is, what other developments have you seen in recent years recent months in connection with the Antitrust Division's criminal cases?
I think in the last few months, there have been two that I've been keeping an eye on. The first is with respect to no-poach agreements between companies, and the second is whether there may be a change in terms of how the Antitrust Division is approaching installing monitors at companies following guilty pleas. So on the first topic of the non-poach agreements, I think our listeners will recognize these as, you know, situations where employers may come to agreements between one another, either not to hire away each other's employees or to somehow come to agreements about what wages are going to be set for similar categories of employees. And in October of 2016, the Obama administration, the both Department of Justice and the FTC issued a published guidance in which they said that these types of agreements can violate the antitrust laws. And since the new team under the Trump administration has been in, several senior officials have made announcements that they have a number of non-poach agreements or investigations that they're pursuing right now. And they do consider the conduct to be criminal and have suggested that they may be bringing some criminal cases in the near term. Just last month in April, the Antitrust Division announced a settlement of a non-poach agreement that was a civil resolution as opposed to a criminal resolution. But the Antitrust Division in its press release went out of its way to say that the conduct had been identified and ceased prior to DOJ's October 2016 announcement. And had the conduct continued past then, it could have resulted in a criminal penalty. In terms of the second area that I identified, that's the question of whether the Antitrust Division will begin installing monitors on a more regular basis in connection with companies that are required to plead guilty. That has been an area where the Antitrust Division, unlike other parts of DOJ and other enforcement authorities, has been reluctant to really require companies to install monitors. Back in 2014, one of the heads of the Antitrust Division had said that it would only be very unusual cases where the Antitrust Division felt compelled to install a monitor in connection with a guilty plea. And such examples included cases where the company itself really did not have any compliance program to speak of, cases where the company kept the employees who committed the price fixing in key jobs at the company, or cases where the company either is a recidivist, or cases where the company, you know, did some public statement or took some other action to indicate that it really was not taking the violation seriously. And so since the time of that announcement, there had not been, in connection with criminal cases, any monitors installed. However, in February of this year, the Department of Justice did install for the first time an independent compliance monitor. The case there was a Norwegian shipping company that had pled guilty to price-fixing violations. And so, you know, I think it's probably too soon to draw any conclusions about whether this is going to be something that's more prevalent going forward, but it is something I think worth keeping an eye on. Daryl, back to you. Another trend that's been prevalent in the last few years has been on the international front, and I think there's two areas there. The first is we see a significant amount of cooperation between antitrust and competition authorities in the United States and elsewhere. And additionally, outside the United States, we've seen an increased criminalization of antitrust and competition conduct. Given that, what sorts of challenges have you seen, both for companies and for the government, in light of these new developments?
Alex, I think you're 100% right. I think the proliferation of both cooperation and the criminalization of competition law violations has made the equation of whether a company should seek leniency under the antitrust division's program and even how division itself conducts itself, and that has only increased in recent years. I think there are now over 36 countries or 35 countries that have criminalized antitrust violations, I think 20 since 2000, and that has a number of ramifications. First of all, of course, it used to be a long shot that someone engaged in criminal conduct in, say, Europe would be extradited, you know, because our extradition treaties typically require reciprocity so that the conduct be a criminal matter in both the United States and the other country from whom they're seeking extradition. Now, many of these countries have made antitrust violations or competition law violations criminal, and we a couple of years ago saw an Italian national who was actually extradited by the German authorities, not even the Italian authorities. Italy had not made it criminal, but Germany had, and this Italian national was extradited. So that's one thing. I think the other issue that complicates things for the department is now that they're extremely cooperative with foreign government authorities and there's a lot of joint investigations, there are consequences to that that the government never had to worry about before, and that's how they conduct those investigations with the other authorities. Last year, the Second Circuit reversed the conviction of an individual trader in one of the benchmark cases because of the way that the government conducted its interviews and its investigation. The Second Circuit concluded with a foreign authority had violated the due process rights of the defendant. So that's something that the government's going to have to pay attention to. Another interesting issue, which I think has really become significant in the international cartel context, but again, this is not so much international as it involves the U.S. authorities, but it comes up in a lot of these international cartels, is the fact that traditionally the antitrust division used to do a criminal investigation by itself. The rest of the Department of Justice was not involved, beginning with the benchmark. I mean, there are other examples, but I think really proliferating with the benchmark, LIBOR and other benchmark cases, because there was fraud conduct involved as well. The DOJ had both divisions, the antitrust division and the fraud section, investigating the same conduct. And state attorney generals investigate the same conduct as well as foreign authorities. For amnesty or leniency applicants, for companies considering how to maneuver and navigate the antitrust division's program, this is complicated things. It used to be that if you went into the antitrust division with a cooperating or seeking leniency, you were confident that any information you turned over to the government would not be used to prosecute you. Now we've seen a situation where you could put yourself at risk and expose yourself to prosecution, not from the antitrust division from where you qualified for leniency, but from, say, the fraud section. The most noteworthy instance of this is in 2015 when one international bank was being investigated in a LIBOR for price fixing by the antitrust division. The fraud section was also investigating and concluded that the conduct violated a former non-prosecution agreement and voided the non-prosecution agreement on the basis of information voluntarily provided under the antitrust division's leniency program. That's a very significant change, and I think a risk there going forward, at least in certain investigations that involve other various parts of the department, companies are going to have to give serious thought to.
Thanks, Daryl, and thanks to all of our listeners for tuning in. For more information about our practices, please visit us on the web at www.selcrom.com. Thank you. Have a good day.